Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from today, would love for you to hit the subscribe button, and if you can leave a rating or review there as well, that'd really be awesome too. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Mitski. She's back with a new record called Be the Cowboy. You know, she just got off tour with Lord and Run the Jewels. There's also a lot of discussion on the themes of isolation, loneliness, and writing in a persona that's all a part of this new LP. You'll find out about global warming on Venus, perfect movie kisses, and how she has a really big fan in Iggy Pop. It's Kyle Meredith with Mitski.
Hi, this is she.
Well, first off, the music that I've heard from Be the Cowboy so far is fantastic. This is so exciting. We've been a fan for a couple albums now, so to hear you kind of continue in this march that you've been on, it's really cool to see. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's such a relief. It is such a relief that people seem to like it.
Well, it seems like you got a lot. I mean, I should bring up, you just, finished a tour with Lord and Run the Jewels? Is that right?
Yes. So it was Lord's tour officially, but Run the Jewels was main support, and I played first at 7 p.m. every night.
7 p.m. So you had to, I mean, that's the win them over spot. Like, can you win a place where people are just filing in little by little? Like, is that the case?
So listen, I was just happy to be there. I was happy to play in their arena for the first time. Everything was new. Catering was amazing, you know. but it's one of those things where you kind of have to realize you're not the main attraction there, and you're kind of just there to play while everyone files in. And I think that's the mindset I played in. So it was with my own shows, it's very much like, thank you for coming for me. Let me give you what you came for. But when it's somebody else's show, it's like, here, like, maybe you would like this. Hopefully you would like this.
Well, I hope everybody liked it, especially these new songs. It's kind of interesting, I guess, thinking about you in a stadium, because what you've said about the songs in Be the Cowboy, about, you know, the idea of one person on a stage alone, did you find that was able to convert that idealism to you know, a room that size?
Well, not really, because you have to understand, I had, you know, 25 minutes to play, and there wasn't really space or time for me to put up any kind of visuals. And again, it wasn't about me, and that's wonderful. That's still great. I got to reach people that I never would have reached otherwise. But I think it wasn't really about kind of expressing that idealism or getting that far in the conversation. It was more just like, here's some of my music. I hope you like it. And I hope you go home and perhaps listen to more of it.
Well, I do want to talk about that, because, you know, you've talked about this sort of persona that is in on this. And of course, we've hinted on it here. But could you expand on that a little bit about what you were trying to accomplish on this record?
Yeah, I think I was just very tired and feeling existential, and because I've just been on Permatour, you know, and I love what I do, but it kind of takes something out of you. And to try to write something while you're in that process can be difficult. So I was just feeling spent. And I think that's where the music came from, where I was very tired, but I was also trying to rally myself. And so there's a lot more upbeat music, like with Nobody, you know, the lyrics are quite desolate and desperate, but it's on a disco beat, you know, and I kind of wanted to express that feeling of being like perhaps empty inside, but here, let's dance, you know, kind of. I mean, I guess I'm thinking a little bit of like Andy Warhol's pop art, where it's just very colorful, very bright, very pop. But, you know, when you hear Andy Warhol explain it, he's like, well, I just made a can, you know. It's just very kind of like empty and kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Oh, completely. You are. Well, I mean, I know, you know, for a lot of artists, it is about the inspiration. Like, oh, God, what am I going to write about this time? What, you know, where is it going to come from? And you just kind of hope it hits like that. But when you're on tour, it's a whole lot of being alone. It's alone in the hotel, or it's alone in the green room, or just alone in your thoughts as you're waiting around. So I don't know. I guess in that sense, it's not so surprising that you went in the direction that you did, because from what I'm getting from you, it sort of seems to stem from that.
That it's better just to kind of like lean into whatever you're experiencing. I know that a lot of my musician friends kind of have trouble as they progress in their careers just to write new music, because it becomes harder and harder for people who don't live our lifestyles to understand what we're going through. And that's why there are so many rock and roll songs about the road. Like,
right.
I'm on the road, I'm driving down the highway, just like, because that's all we do all the time. And so, like, and there are just so many, only so many ways you can turn that into a metaphor. But I think I read Courtney Barnett saying in an interview, like, she was worried about how she might not be able to write music that people can relate to anymore, because her life is just so isolated and far removed from how other people live. So I was just like, you know what, I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to lean into this weird world that I live in, and these feelings of isolation and just constant travel and, I don't know, and being on a stage.
Yeah, well, and if you're writing in a persona, I mean, does that allow you to some point to, you know, get into the fictional side of it, to get away from yourself a bit?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't really think of it as fiction, because all the music comes from a very true place for me. I think it was more just like, the reason I write music isn't to tell my story word for word exactly how things happened, but just to express a feeling. So sometimes utilizing a character or using a narrative that didn't exactly happen to me expresses the feeling I had better in a more saturated way than like explaining word for word what exactly happened. Because sometimes what actually happens in your life is mundane, but the feeling you get is not mundane. And so you're trying to express a feeling, or at least I am trying to express a feeling rather than a story. And so I don't really think of it as like personas or fiction. Those are just kind of like words that are easiest, best used to describe what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, no, right. I heard you talking with Bob Boylan, our friend Bob Boylan, about the first single, Geyser. And I think you were saying, like, lyrically it's vague, but it's more about that feeling. It's more about the emotion behind it.
Right. Yeah, and I just, you know, we've all read fiction. I think, like, it sometimes, yeah, I don't know, you can get more truth out of fiction, maybe, than nonfiction.
Well, I want to bring up a few of the lyrics on this record anyway, or on the first couple songs anyway. There's one that you said it's, you know, destroyed by global warming, but it's not Earth you're talking about, right?
Yes. Well, I read I can't give you the exact source, but I read somewhere right about the time I was writing this song that Venus, actually, the planet Venus, experienced global warming. And so I thought, oh, how interesting. Like, and I imagined, like, well, maybe there was a civilization on Venus, which we call the planet of love, but they wanted so many things the way we desire so much. And they kind of like wanted so much that's out of their means and drove their planet to global warming. Like, wouldn't that be funny if that's what happened?
What a cool creative way to get to that point. Anyway, I love that.
Thank you.
I'll bring up another one then, and this one might be a bit more trivial, but, you know, and you also say you want one good movie kiss, which is a great line. Are you thinking of any particular movies? Do you have a go-to? Do you have a go-to sad movie that you you know you'll stop for every single time?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I think the movie kiss I was referring to in my mind is like the kind of kiss that wouldn't ever be in one particular movie. It's like the kind of like the cinematic kiss in your that your mind conjures that doesn't even exist anywhere that can never be realized.
You got quite the endorsement recently from one Mr. Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like? Where did that come from?
I don't know where that came from, but I'm grateful for it. I don't know how he found my music, but again, it's a miracle to me. He said he found it on YouTube, which is wild. Just imagining Iggy Pop just silently in his room surfing the web. But it's just great because Iggy Pop is one of my heroes. You know, like you have a specific amount of like people you turn to whenever you're confused or you need guidance in your life. And he's one of those people. I'd watch his live videos or listen to his music whenever I kind of needed reminding of what I think music should be or what I think people should get out of a live experience. So, yeah, I don't know how to feel about it. It doesn't quite feel real. My mind doesn't know how to register it.
I mean, when your music starts reaching the points that you have been over the last couple of years, inevitably the heroes, you know, the idols, the heroes, whatever you want to call them, you know, will hear them. And to get those compliments, I mean, that's, you know, it's got to be one of the things what it's all about. So this is what I always call the moment when, you know, we get to look back at our 15, 16 year old selves and go, see, look at this.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, also to Iggy Pop's credit, like I listened to his show on BBC and he really digs into like the indie rock world. He knows some obscure stuff. So I think he's just one of those people who's maybe still passionate about underground music and seeks it out. And that's, I feel like that's the only reason he could have found me, because I'm not famous in any way.
Well, fame I know is relative. We still appreciate the music and we're loving it over here. And I'm glad it's reaching the people it is. So congratulations again on this record, Be the Cowboy. I'm so excited to hear the rest of it. And hopefully we'll see you back around here soon.
Yes, I hope so too. Thank you so much for making the time for this.
All right, it was a real pleasure. We'll see you around.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks to Mitski for that call right there. The new album called Be the Cowboy. Hey, YouTubers, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button right now to Consequence of Sound's page to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. For you podcast fans, iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you're listening from today, leave a rating and a review, and I'll be your best friend. Or at least you'll just be able to keep up with these interviews for a lot longer. You can then head over to WFPK.org. I do a show there every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. You can also find bonus episodes of this series there as well. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.